Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Tim. Oh, we are so privileged and blessed to know the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, it's wonderful to be shut in with God. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. We're so blessed to know the living God. And it's wonderful to be here tonight. Thank God for what He's done. Thank God for the privileges we have in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it is a wonderful thing to be shut in with the Lord. You know, if we ever needed to know the Lord, if we ever needed to know what it's like, to be shut in with God, it's right now. These times of refreshing that we have in His Spirit are so essential, so needed. We need that renewing of our mind, and it's so mine, not the way the world's going to talk of. No, it's down on our knees, crying out to the Lord, reflecting in His Word, and oh yes, listening to His still small voice that speaks to our soul, and thank the Lord, we have such a privilege. Oh, if we have ears to hear and eyes to see, we have been blessed. And oh yes, I'm so thankful for God's Word that ministers to a heart. Oh yes, it gives us food to digest, spiritual food that we can live and that we can grow and that we can flourish in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to direct all of this. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace that reached out to us. Oh God, when we didn't know Thee, Lord, when we had no hope in this world. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you had mercy on our souls. And oh God, that you made yourself known to us so that we could come to you, Lord, so that we could embrace salvation, God, so that we could hear Thy voice. And oh God, even be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd move in us tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd challenge us. I pray, oh God, that you'd get us to that place that we can grow in you, Lord. And oh God, be blessed and be flourishing, oh Lord, in Thy sight. Oh God, we need you, Lord. And I pray that you'd have your way in this message. I pray that you talk to each and every heart. I pray, oh God, that you move the mountains that need to go and redirect lives, oh God, according to Thy will. I pray, oh God, that you, oh God, draw us to that higher ground. Oh God, that we might, oh Lord, be close to Thee, that we might know Thy voice, that nothing would deceive us in these times, oh Lord, when deception is so great. The devil is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh God, help us, Lord, to stay in Thy word. Oh God, help us to have victory over the flesh, the world, the devil. Oh God, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd use this word. Oh God, the devil would have no place here, Lord. And oh God, that you would bring forth that which, oh God, you have ordained. That which, oh God, would be relevant, oh God, to help each and every individual. You know our needs as individuals, and I pray that you'd work. Let your still, small voice be heard. Oh God, help us to know it. And help us, oh God, to grow in Thee. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Well, we've been in 1 Corinthians, and I believe tonight has brought us to the 12th chapter of that epistle that Paul wrote so many years ago. You know, he had many challenges back then. And, you know, you think, yeah, these people, they were Gentiles. They were pagan in their backgrounds, and they had not known the living God before Paul came on the scene to introduce the Lord Jesus to them. And so, of course, there were many things that needed to be brought to their attention, and there were things in this church, as we have studied, that needed to be corrected. But now here in this 12th chapter, he's going to give them details about spiritual gifts. And oh yes, how important it is to have the Spirit of the Lord working in our midst. It's so important to have the Holy Ghost working in our lives. And oh yes, how we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And you know, before we study spiritual gifts, we have to realize that it all starts with the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, things begin to change there when God poured out his Spirit upon all flesh there. That second chapter of the book of Acts. Oh yes, when it began to happen. Oh yes, they were told to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, to tarry until they were endued or clothed upon with that Spirit from on high. And praise the Lord, what a wonder when the Holy Ghost fell on that day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And oh, yes, the other manifestations that showed forth. Oh, yes, the rushing mighty wind that came in. Oh, yes, obviously the Spirit of God coming forth to enter into his people. That mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And then cloven tongues appeared like as a fire. And I believe there's a reason for these cloven tongues. They were split. And I believe this denoted the two functions of the Holy Ghost. One, to initially fill us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then, secondly, the gifts of the Spirit that would be poured out upon his people. And of course, the manifestation that came forth on the day of Pentecost is told us in the fourth verse of Acts, the second chapter. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord, it was the voice of God. Oh, yes. Intercepting lives, coming into human beings, bringing forth his Spirit so that we could have victory over this world. We could have victory over sin, the flesh, and the devil. And oh yes, walk with the Lord in a new fellowship, in a new relationship with God Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord as he was sending forth his Spirit, the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, coming to dwell in mortal man. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What a gift. What a moment. And you know, as Peter began to proclaim there in that second chapter of Acts, oh yes, he told them, you know, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But he told them, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit. Praise the Lord, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord. It came to pass just as it had been proclaimed those many years before by the prophet Joel. Joel, the second chapter. Praise the Lord, it came to pass. And oh, yes, Peter is declaring it here. Oh, his message there on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But as far as these gifts are concerned, let's go here to Ephesians, the fourth chapter here, to get a running start here. Praise the Lord. Just to cover a little portion here, it tells us here, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he declares, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And here he's telling us very clearly, verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But verse 7 goes on to tell us, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Oh, there were great works that were wrought when Jesus left this world. When he ascended on high, oh, yes, he was also bringing those that had been in captivity. He was leading them out. Oh, yes. And oh, yes, he was about to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, that which was declared by the prophet Joel, and he was going to give gifts unto men. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And of course, that was prophesied in the book of Psalms. And I want to go there, Psalms chapter 68, here to read that verse here that relates. Psalms 68. And here it tells us in verse 18. Psalm 68, verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. In other words, he's releasing those that were in bondage. Mm-hmm. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, he was going to pour out of his spirit. And praise the Lord, it wasn't going to be just for one class of people or one background or, oh yes, one ethnic group. It was going to be for the Jew and for the Greek as well. And I just kind of think where it says for the rebellious also, I kind of think that indicates the Gentiles who were so contrary. But yet, yes, the promise of God, and we read it again and again, in the Old Testament, yes, that they would be recipients of the new covenant. And praise the Lord, it says there that the Lord God might dwell among them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, under the old covenant, there was a tabernacle for the people where they would come and gather in the presence of the Lord, would meet with them in that place. But under the new covenant, God was going to come and dwell among his people, in his people, yes, sending forth the Holy Ghost so that he could dwell in our very beings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, I believe that's verse here in Psalm 68, 18 is just what the reference is for Ephesians 4, 8. Praise the Lord, and it was fulfilled. Thank the Lord. Oh, the Lord did ascend on high, and he did deliver those that were in bonds. He did lead captivity captive. And yes, he sent forth the gifts of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Oh, for all that would call upon the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. So with that being said, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and just read how this is all brought together here. It tells us in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away with unto those or unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. And of course, he's talking about their background when, oh yes, they didn't know better. And they were in that kind of bondage where, you know, they were carried away with idols, dumb idols. They couldn't speak, couldn't hear, couldn't see. But oh my, they gave credence to such and were led by such idolatry. But oh my, they'd come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation. And so he's telling in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And here we have a definite giveaway here. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no way that you can curse Jesus' authority, his lordship, his name, his power. Oh no, there is no way that you can curse the Lord if you're led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Very, very clear. Amen. So yes, that's the first point in this third verse. And then he says, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And yes, we know that it's the Holy Ghost that draws us, the Spirit of the living God. Oh, we wouldn't have any inclination to serve the Lord Jesus if he didn't draw us. We know Jesus himself said in John, the 12th chapter, verses 31 and 32, he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And of course, this is just prior to Calvary. And just before, yes, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, would be cast out of heaven. Amen. And so then he went on to say, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And there he's talking about the wooing spirit of the Holy Ghost that speaks to the heart and helps a person, oh yes, to realize the need to repent, to get right with God, to turn one's life over to the living God. And again, if he didn't draw us, then we would not be so inclined to do so. We would just go on with our living and do as people do in the flesh. But thank God, oh yes, for that moment when he spoke to us in our inner man, and all at once we could sense the reality. Oh yes, that God was manifested in the flesh, that he'd come to the world as Jesus Christ, and he came to save us from our sins. And if we turn our hearts over to the living God in repentance, oh praise the Lord, he would forgive us. Praise the Lord, and we could be redeemed by that blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Oh, praise the Lord. John, the 6th chapter, Jesus said, verse 37, John 6, 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Oh yes, the plan of God from the foundation of the world. Oh yes, God knew what it would take to save fallen man. And praise the Lord, Jesus came forth to do that very thing. Oh yes, to do the will of his Father that was in heaven, the eternal Spirit of God. And then he says in verse 39, "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Oh, praise the Lord, that call to eternal life. Oh, yes, that would come to our hearts. Oh, and that we could embrace it and believe. Praise the Lord. John, the 5th chapter, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Oh, praise the Lord. And then he began to foretell in verse 25 here in John chapter 5. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." What is he talking about? Oh, we were all dead in our sins and in our trespasses. And yet, praise the Lord, there was that moment when the voice of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, spoke to our inner man. And we begin to hear and we begin to realize that there was hope beyond this world.
Yes.
Oh, yes, that we could be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, that we could enter in into everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, that call to repentance when we just, oh, it came to us. Oh, and we could hear. We might have been deaf for a long, long time, but suddenly we could hear and recognize that voice and that need to get right with God. Oh, thank God for such a moment. Thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Turning to John, the 8th chapter here for a moment. Praise the Lord. John chapter 8. He tells us in verse 47, John 8, 47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." And here he's addressing his own Jewish people. And this is a very hard message here in John, the 8th chapter. Oh, he has to, you know, get to the point. At first, there are many that believe on him. But oh my, when Jesus began to say, "If ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." Verse 32 in this chapter begins to say, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And of course, they didn't get it. Oh my, at this point, those that were following him at that moment began to respond in a very negative way. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And then Jesus' explanation, and I don't know how they could have ever had declared they were never in bondage to any man. I mean, you know, the crux of the matter, they were in Egypt and they were in great bondage, and God sent Moses to deliver them. Amen? Amen. Yes, but oh my, here they are in their confusion, denying the reality of the matter. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Oh, yes, that's the bondage. That's what keeps us in captivity. Oh, when you're living in sin, you're not free. There is no way you can be free until you've given that sin over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he takes it from us. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so that we can walk in newness of life when we obey his gospel. Yes, that need to repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. And yes, he went on to say, verse 47 again, I'll read it. "He that is of God heareth God's words." And he had to tell them very clearly, "Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." He had to tell them that they were of their father, who was the devil. Oh, nothing that we ever want to hear.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh boy, but thank God, if he has given us ears to hear, what a blessing. Ears to hear and eyes to see. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, as Jesus expounded in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and told those parables there, and particularly the parable of the four grounds. Oh, he ended that by saying, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Oh, yes, not everybody has those ears. But thank the Lord, if he spoke to our deadness, spoke to us in our sin and helped us to realize our great need to get right with God. Oh, what a blessing. What a privilege. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So it's the Holy Ghost that draws us. And as I read here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, that second part of that third verse, "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
Oh, yes, it takes that drawing of the Holy Ghost and to quicken us, to make us alive, to give us ears to hear. Praise the Lord, so that we can turn from our sin.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So now he's going to talk about the various gifts. And he goes on to say in verse 4, explaining here. He says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So, you know, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and he's saying, now there's differences. It's not all one and the same. There's some varieties or variances here of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And of course, you know, you got to think about this. There's all kinds of things that happen in this world. There's all kinds of people. There's all kinds of needs. There's all kinds of circumstances. And you know, we're told in Romans 8th chapter, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So praise the Lord. You know, it's what God would have us to say or do for the moment, to be led by Him so we can know how to respond. And so it is with the gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So he's going to, you know, explain. And then he says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So how the gifts are managed or administered, there's going to be some variance. There's going to be some differences. And then he says, and there are diversities of operations, how the various gifts work. But see, that's our God who leads us little by little in how we want to learn to be led by the Spirit so that we can, you know, voice the words that need to be voiced at that moment or do the precise thing that He would have us to do so that, you know, we can be truly in sync with the Lord and His Spirit. Amen. So yes, it's one God, but He's going to lead in different ways. He's going to work in different functions, and He's going to manage in different ways. But then it's explained in verse 7. For to one is given, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So first of all, I see this, and I kind of just picture it. If I would be able to, you know, use a chalkboard right now, I would just indicate this, you know, maybe cloud-like thing that would indicate the Spirit of the living God, and, you know, just write Holy Ghost on that. He pours out His Spirit. Oh, yes, and we're all, you know, if we've yielded our lives to the Lord, it's the promise for all of us. Praise the Lord. So he gives that manifestation of the Holy Ghost. It's revealed. Yes, it comes forth. And he gives it to every man to profit withal. We all need the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about the initial manifestation. And remember, I brought out earlier that those tongues on the day of Pentecost were cloven to indicate, I believe, that there were two functions of the Holy Ghost. And you know, it's brought out actually in Psalms, the 29th chapter, too. Praise the Lord. Psalms 29:7 states, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire, just like those cloven tongues on the day of Pentecost. And praise the Lord, there is the initial manifestation or fulfillment there when we speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost comes into our life. And then, yes, these gifts that He gives to every man to profit withal. So here in this chapter, Paul is going to speak of 9 different specific gifts of the Spirit. And I see them all. I have this in my mind, this image of this cloud-like thing that indicates the Spirit of the living God that comes to dwell within us. And then, you know, from the Holy Ghost are these gifts that He gives us, every man to profit with all, and according to the particular needs of the moment, so that we can be led by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. So verse 8 begins to record these functions here, these nine gifts that are mentioned. And, you know, I think there even could be other aspects that aren't mentioned here in these next two verses, but these are all very important. It tells us here in verse 8, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." Verse 10 goes on to say, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." And then I'm going to explain more. I will explain more with the help of the Lord here. Verse 11, however, tells us, "But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit," and he's, you know, making it very clear it's the eternal Spirit of God, the one Spirit of God that gives to everyone, dividing to every man severally as he will. And I believe that dividing to every man severally as he will, it means that he gives us these gifts as they are needed. Oh, yes, and first we do need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, but then we have all these branches that come out in all these different aspects of the Spirit of God that he gives to us so that we can work and do the will of God, fulfilling his purpose. You know, there's a purpose for each and every one of us. Amen. And we're here to do the will of God. Oh, yes, to fulfill the plan of God. And, you know, there's an expectation. You know, we're all in one body. And so we all have a part. And, yes, the rest of this chapter really explains that. And you know, we all are participants. And we're not twins in that sense. You know, we're not going to be duplicates one of another because God needs us all as individuals. We all have our particular gifts that God gives to us specifically so that we can do our part. And some of this is explained here, just to read a little bit more. And he's going to divide these gifts to every man severally. And look at severally. As many as we need, given to us as we need them, so that we can fulfill God's purpose and plan. And he explains in verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Praise the Lord. I believe he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost there, that he comes into our lives to change us. And as, you know, we receive this gift of God, then we are all part of the body of Christ. And, you know, there's no respect of persons. It says whether we be Jews or Gentiles, God has no regard. It doesn't matter. There is no respect of persons with God. Whether we be bond or free, you know, that isn't a consideration in the family of God. And have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Praise the Lord. So we all have this infilling of the Holy Ghost as, yes, we surrender our lives to the Lord and let him immerse us in his Spirit. "For the body is not one member, but many." And then he explains, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" I mean, you know, you try to exclude yourself. Well, you know, I'm not of the hand, so then I'm not of the body. "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" I mean, you know, No, you know, every part is important in the body of Christ. And then he goes on to say, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So Paul is trying to emphasize that every part of the body of Christ is significant. And if you just had an eye, you would be incomplete. If you just had an ear to hear, you would be incomplete. So he says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, how he gave gifts unto man, you know, severally as he will. And praise the Lord. So we could all participate in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad. I want to do something for the Lord. I want to be a participant. Don't you? Amen. And God has made it possible that we could all participate. And it says here, verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? Oh, it's going to take several. It's going to take a complete body to function right. Oh, yes, in the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus. But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So praise the Lord. So every part is very significant and honorable in the kingdom of God. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So he says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But yes, before I continue the rest of this chapter, I just want to go back and talk more particularly of those nine different spiritual gifts that are mentioned here in this chapter. Praise the Lord. First of all, he mentioned the word of wisdom. And oh my, I believe that is an ability that God gives his people to know how to go forth to do the will of God for that moment, whatever the circumstance may be, the need of the moment. He knows how to give that kind of wisdom so we know how to properly respond. Amen. Or properly go forth, amen, to do the will of God, to do the work of God. The word of the word of knowledge, I believe that's when God gives his people specific details and insight that is given by the Holy Ghost to know things that would not be obvious. It's just an inner knowing because the Holy Ghost prompts us so that we can know. And faith, he talks about the gift of faith. And of course, now let's just think here a moment. We have to have faith to come to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there's that saving faith at the start that is absolutely 100% necessary before we can even come to the Lord. We have to believe that God is.
Amen.
And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, that means putting forth a decent effort, a good effort, our best effort forth to understand, yes, and to receive the gifts of God. Oh, yes, to be his child. And so, yes, we have to have that faith initially. But here, I believe here, this gift of faith is believing God for works that need to be done in the body of Christ, or even without things, ways he would manifest, how he would use it. He gives us faith so that we can believe him. Maybe it's a time when things look pretty dark and we don't have much hope and we don't know how to go about and we don't know how to think. But the Lord knows how to give us faith. I know I mentioned this a couple weeks ago and maybe even last week. When Brother Tim and I were driving from Bay City there and had that accident, and all at once, you're not planning on your car crashing and all this kind of thing. I can remember that, oh boy, how that hurt. It was like, the airbag went off, and oh, I hurt so bad. I was just sitting in the car there, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get out and walk. But, it was something as I was calling upon the Lord. Oh, my, all at once, I just remember faith just coming upon me. And all at once, Lord, with your help, I'm going to walk out of this car. And Lord, by faith, I'm not going to be needed to go away in the ambulance and be in the hospital. And praise the Lord, I thank God, because no matter how heavy it seemed at the first and how much it hurt, Lord, help me to walk out of that vehicle. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when the paramedics looked at me, they said, nothing is broken. You're going to be okay in that sense. And praise the Lord. But, I just thank God, that faith that comes upon us, so that in the midst of things that are, going wrong, it might seem, or things that are very difficult and, in the middle of something, we might have a loved one that's not doing well and, we're crying out to the Lord, because what else could we do, But oh my, thank God when he puts faith in our being so that, we can just grasp faith. And you can see faith.
Yes.
Oh, you can see faith. I remember years ago, we were having church in our home way back at that time, and Pastor David was sick that night, and he wasn't very often sick, but anyway, that kind of left the rest of us to do what we had to do. And anyway, I believe I had one of the individuals give his testimony, and these people had come out of, they were part of drug dealers. They were actually drug dealers, our first converts. And anyway, one man gave his testimony, and then I said whatever the Lord gave me to say after that, and we began to pray. And I remember this one man, his name was Warren. He was just brand new. He just started coming to the fellowship, and he had a, rough background too. But oh my, as he was raising his hands and praying, I could see faith on his face. I could just see it so clearly, and I began to pray for that man. And sure enough, within seconds, he began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that faith that comes forth. We could see it in our brother Chakma there in Michigan. We could see faith on his face and in his spirit, there at the resort while we were still praying there before he was baptized, I could sense, yes, the dealings of the Lord in his life. And praise the Lord, not only him, but his young 5-year-old son. Oh, you could tell the Lord was working in that little boy. Praise the Lord. But faith, it becomes apparent when it's a part of our lives.
Praise
the Lord. And yes, we must have faith to please God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here we're talking in this chapter about a gift of faith that comes to us so that we might go forth and pray for that person who's sick. Or maybe it's even ourselves, just faith to know that, you know, it's going to be okay. We're going to recover, that the Lord is with us. Faith for the moment that's, you know, strong enough to believe that God is going to work in us sufficiently. Oh, yes, that all the needs that are necessary shall be done. Praise the Lord. And then there's the gifts of healing. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we go forth and pray for the sick, laying hands on the sick, if that's possible. If we're in person, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, and believing that that prayer of faith in the name of the Lord Jesus is going to save the sick. And yes, even if they committed sins, that they shall be forgiven. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, those gifts of healing that God has ordained for his people. That, oh yes, we might go forth as his hands, as an extension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, to pray for those that are sick. Oh yes, to do the works that Jesus has ordained his church to do. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then there's works of miracles, working of miracles. And oh yes, Jesus did all of these things. But oh yes, there were those workings of miracles. Acts that defy the law of nature. Oh yes, our Lord and Savior walking on the water.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The feeding of the 5,000. You know, all the feats that Jesus did that were defying the laws of nature.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Supernatural acts of God. Praise the Lord. But he has given this function to the church as a gift of the Spirit, that there could be workings of miracles. And I'll tell you what, in this time period, we need to see miracles.
Amen.
We need to see healings. Oh, praise the Lord. We need all these gifts. Oh, yes, to come forth like they need to be coming forth. Yes, as they came forth in the book of Acts. I know Brother Tim was explaining, you know, he heard this story just recently, and it just happened maybe 2 weeks ago, that there was a family in China, in Shanghai, and everything was all closed up. The city was closed up. They couldn't leave. They couldn't go to the grocery store. They didn't have such an opportunity or privilege, not able to go out. And of course, they had needs. They had needs. And, you know, there was a list of items that they needed. And obviously, they were praying people. They were people that trusted the Lord. And lo and behold, and this is a true story, and it's a recent story. And yes, there came a knock at the door. And lo and behold, nobody was going out. There were no delivery vans coming forth to deliver goods. But here was a knock at the door. And there was a man with all the items that they had desired. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, yes, I believe that was an angel that the Lord sent forth to his people. Oh, yes, a work of miracles, a working of miracles. Praise the Lord. And if he did it for them, he can do it for us.
Yes.
And praise the Lord, we've got to hold fast to the promises of God and the examples that we have in the scriptures. Because, oh my, we need these miracles. Oh, we need to hold fast to the works of God. And, oh yes, believe God for the things that are yet unseen. Oh yes, we may have gone through a time when it didn't seem like much was happening. But oh my, we're coming to that time when we need to believe God like we've never believed him before.
Yes.
We need to go forth and believe the gospel and go forth and deliver the words that the Lord would ask us to deliver. Oh, yes, because, oh, it's coming to a head. It's going to be over one of these days. And how we need, oh, yes, to be in that place where the Lord can use us in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Oh, the workings of the Holy Ghost operating in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. We need it. We need it. Oh, yes. And yes, there's the gift of prophecy. Oh, yes, to prophesy means to speak forth, to speak with inspiration, to reveal with divine inspiration, to reveal the will or message of God. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, we need these utterances that come forth by the anointing power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Yes, we were told your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's a promise. That's a link to the Holy Ghost. Yes, as we come forth and are able to speak by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, to go forth and do the work that needs to be done. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And yes, number 7 here with these 9 gifts that are mentioned here in 1 Corinthians 12, we have the discerning of spirits. And here, a needful thing here. Oh, we're living in a time when people don't want to acknowledge devils too much, it seems. And you know, oh my, you know, cover up, you know, devils with, you know, other, you know, illnesses, or, you know, cover it up with drugs or whatever all happens in this time period. Just, you know, do anything but acknowledge that this person has a devil and they need to be delivered. But oh my, how we need to discern the spirits, so that we will know what is of God and what is of the devil.
Amen.
Amen. We need to have discerning of spirits. All that ability to know what spirit is operating, so we can rightly go forth and operate as the Holy Ghost would have us to do. And then, yes, it talks about the diverse kinds of tongues. And oh yes, how the Lord uses speaking forth in other tongues to bring forth his will. And yes, there's various functions here. Just sometimes the Lord using tongues to help us to pray for those things that we can't identify in our own minds. And there are times when the Lord uses tongues in the church, oh, to bring forth a message in tongues so that it will edify the body of Christ. Whatever is needed, God knows how to use an unknown tongue, or even a tongue of an angel, or another tongue from, you know, that around, from around the world. Use it so that it will build up, it will edify, it will do a function for the body of Christ. And that's a beautiful thing when it happens. I remember some camp meetings many, many years ago, and I remember utterances that came forth in other tongues. And I remember one occasion, there was a minister, and he'd been outside, and he just walked into the tabernacle at that point as this message in tongues had been given. And he gave the interpretation just like that. He was quickened by the Holy Ghost, and he was able to interpret that message that was given in tongues. And of course, for the body of Christ. So these two work together. And yes, it's a function that needs to be when, yes, messages come forth in other tongues. And then to be most beneficial, and chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians will deal with this, it needs to be interpreted in order for all to, you know, gain understanding. And, oh yes, for it to be of its highest ability to help God's people, to work in God's people, to edify God's people. So here we have these 9 spiritual gifts that are mentioned here in this scripture. And oh, how we need them to function. I would love to go through various chapters here in the book of Acts and show how in the early church they were in operation. And I'll tell you, we need them right now. It just seems like, you know, things have been a little slack in so many ways. But it's time for Zion, the church of the living God, to travail.
Yes.
And to get to that place where all the functions that God has ordained for his people are operating. Yes, so that these gifts of the Spirit are operating in the midst of his people. Oh, yes. It's going to take the Holy Ghost in order to do it. And yes, we read how, you know, it's God gives them severally to every man as he wills, so that, you know, as there's a need, this gift could be in operation if we're in accord, if we're led by the Spirit of the living God, so that, yes, this need can be met. And yes, God being no respecter of persons, every person in the body of Christ has a function, has a place. You know, there's, you know, a great need for every person, for the body of Christ to be complete. And oh yes, how we all want to be functioning. You know, if somebody is sick, then oh my, you know, we're missing that arm or that, you know, that leg or whatever, you know, or they, you know, went away or something happened, and, you know, then my, it's missing, and that part then is not there unless the Lord would replace it in another way. But oh yes, we need, oh yes, to be fully stirred, fully endued with that power from on high, allowing God to operate in our lives. And just going on to explain here in 1 Corinthians as we complete this chapter, it says in verse 28, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues." And then questions are asked in verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And here, let me explain, when he's talking of speaking with tongues, he's not talking about the initial evidence. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost that we have declared here tonight, where God uses those diverse tongues for the edification of the body of Christ. And do all interpret? You see, God gives specific gifts to people. And here, as this chapter ends, he says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And of course, he's going to talk about charity, the great need for charity in this 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, because even though we would have all the gifts of the Spirit and have not charity, oh, it's declared that we would become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Oh my, those gifts would, you know, avail us nothing if we don't have love, if we don't have agape love, charity one for another. And oh yes, we need it more than anything else. But oh yes, these gifts have been given to the body of Christ so that we can all play a role and do our part, have that function. And it tells us yet we need to covet or desire earnestly the best gifts. And you know, the best gifts, that means that would be the gifts that are needed for the situation. for the moment. A yes for what God wants to do at that very time. So yes, there's a diversity of gifts. Oh yes. And there are different administrations of the gifts. But oh, praise the Lord, he gives the manifestation of the Spirit to every man to profit with all. Praise the Lord, that initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, when that, oh yes, he speaks through us as we yield our hearts to the Lord. And oh, we give it over to the Lord. And oh, praise the Lord, he takes our mouth and we begin to speak with another tongue as the Spirit of God, oh, gives the utterance through us. Oh, yes, he's going to give us a language that we never learned. Oh, yes, but it's going to be, yes, that sign that, oh, yes, he is in us. He has given us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And, oh, yes, how we need to desire these gifts, to covet them, and to go forth to do our part in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If the Lord will allow, next week I would like to go to the book of Acts and give many examples of how God used these gifts of the Spirit in the early church. I think it will encourage us greatly. Oh yes, and show us how we too need to function as the body of Christ. But oh yes, here we are. Here we are at this last hour. Little time left, so it seems. But oh yes, yet we serve a God who knows how to use his people. And oh yes, that gift of the Holy Ghost that he poured out on the day of Pentecost, he's still pouring it out today. Oh yes, that we might all participate in his kingdom. And oh yes, go forth and do his work. Oh yes, all members of the body of Christ, praise the Lord. Oh yes, thank the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh Heavenly Father, I thank you, oh, for these gifts that you have given to man, Lord. Oh yes, that you so ordained that you would pour out of your Spirit. Oh, God, that you'd send back the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, oh, God, that, oh, we could have that fellowship with you, Lord. Oh, God, so that we could know you in spirit and in truth. Oh, how we could worship you, Lord, and go forth being led by the Holy Ghost. And therefore, all your sons and your daughters, I pray that you'd work in us in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, that you would move in us in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that you'd help us to be participants in that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, God, that we could be holy. Oh, God, that we could be without any blemish or any wrinkle, any spot. Oh, God, anything to interfere, all with that purity that you put within us by thy Spirit, O Lord, living in us. O Lord, let us be vessels of honor. O God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. O God, work in us so that we might, O God, have these gifts of the Spirit operating in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Can you hear me okay, sister? Okay, I'm okay. All right, good. Praise God. Just in closing, we're going to go ahead and we're going to also pray before we sing the song here in closing. But there's a prayer request. I just want to make sure I read this properly here. Oh, let's see here. Prayer from Penny for her dad, Jerry. He's going into the ER in the morning because he can't get his breath. He has one lung filling with fluid, and the doctors don't seem to know what's wrong or doing anything to find out. They need wisdom and healing, and the right doctor to take interest to help also. Penny's mom has shingles and won't be able to go to the ER with Jerry. Her name is Joyce. So, Lord God in heaven, we lift up both of her parents, of Penny's parents, Jerry and Joyce, Father God. We lift them up before the throne of heaven right now, and we, O God in heaven, pray by faith, the prayer of faith, believing. And we thank you, Father God, that your shed blood on the cross will cover all issues that we ever would go through in our life. And so we lift them up with you now, Lord God, in this moment. We lift them up into your care, Father God. We lift them up by prayer and faith, asking, Father God, for deliverance, asking for healing for both, O Father God, that those lungs would go back to functional form, Lord God. Shingles would disappear from Joyce. We pray, Lord God, that the right man would be there to help them in the ER, Father God, that his hands and that he would have wisdom to know how and what to do in all areas, Lord God, concerning their parents, their health. In Jesus' name we pray, under the blood is touching these things. We pray by faith, believing. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord God.
Praise the Lord.
So, we keep praying for Penny's mom and dad. We'll keep praying for all those as well who have needs, who have issues that need help and attention.
Yes.
You know, talking about faith here, you know, I remember the time when Sister Shirley and I were out on one of our many mission trips, and one of which we were several years ago, going into Mexico, and we drove all the way through Texas, and we had a lot of discouragement, a lot of discouraging news, a lot of people warning us and telling us we should never go into Mexico. But don't know, but I think, you know, the Lord, prior to that, going even on that trip, I had been in a store looking at a travel magazine and saw the country of Guanajuato, Mexico. It's a city there by Guadalajara. And I felt like that was it right there. We needed to go there. And so I brought it to Shirley, and we prayed about it. We thought that on the way, we also had many other people to meet with and do things, pray with and pray for. Hand out tracts and witness as much as we could. We did that. And before going into Mexico, we sat on the side of the road and we prayed and we asked God, you know, there's a lot of clamoring, a lot of fear out there. But we decided to pray, and we both felt the surge of faith to move forward, and that's what we did. And going through Monterrey, Mexico, and not knowing the language, the street signs, and going through a severe storm in the middle of Monterrey, and not knowing how to read the signs or anything of that nature, but the Lord guided us every step of the way. I had noted a sign in one instant going through a foot of water in Monterrey, Mexico there, and how I saw a sign and it looked familiar as we try to familiarize ourselves with a few words here and there. And I took a turn to the left at the last moment before we didn't have any other opportunities. And it happened to be the right road. We got all the way down into Guadalajara, and about 8 or 9 hours later, and we proceeded to do the work that the Lord would have us to do. And it all turned out, and God met us every step of the way, and many things happened, several miracles, and it was a very great trip, and it was the faith that we had became a great victory.
Amen.
Many people out there don't understand faith. I remember a little sign I posted on my door one time, and I still remember it. It says, sorrow looks back, worry looks around, but faith looks up.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Faith looks up. And God is looking for people that will dare to have faith and are moved by his word and not by circumstances. Therefore, that is where we have the victory.
Amen.
If we could go to, I know it's called the Gospel Melodies book. In there at page 121 is a song called Faith is a Victory. If you don't have it where you are, just raise your hands and let faith build in your heart and spirit as you sing it. Amen. And whenever Sister Shirley is available there to do it, we'll get started here in that. Praise God.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumphs trod. By faith, they like a whirlwind's breath swept on our every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every side the handful we find dread is arrayed. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation helmet on each head with truth and girt about. The earth shall tremble neath the tread and it goeth the child. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Oh, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Praise, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Go in faith. Go in faith. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.